Today, we're going to be talking about Netflix versus the mothership.
This is TWIP.
All right, folks, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. This is an interview that I know you're going to enjoy. I'm sitting here with a photographer out of Montana who is maybe going head-to-head with his mothership versus Netflix. We're going to talk about, I know that's salacious, but we're going to talk about what that's all about and get a little bit of insight into this battle. So basically, the gist is Sean Heavey, he's a photographer out of Montana, is in sort of the midst of a altercation, let's say, with Netflix over one of his images, an improper usage of one of his images. We're going to talk about how all that went down and what may come of this. So Sean, welcome to the show. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, man. You look comfy. You look like you're snug as a bug in a rug out there in Montana.
It's cold today. Winter's coming. So it's got the heat turned on, but yeah.
Nice. Nice. Well, good. Well, thank you for coming on, man. Thanks for taking the time to do this. And you and I spoke several days ago about the gist of this case. So I was hoping you could kind of go through it and give us, before we dive into it in earnest, give us the sort of Reader's Digest version of what's happening right now with the mothership, which is your image, and the improper usage of it allegedly from Netflix.
So I took a picture back in 2010 of a thunderstorm, that came through this area in northeastern Montana. And, earlier this year, a friend was watching the behind the scenes documentary of the latest season of Stranger Things. And they had, a photo that they showed in that documentary that was included. It was some concept art, and it included a big portion of my mothership photo in that. And so started a conversation of like, well, what's happening? What's this going on? What ended up contacting Netflix and asking them about how they, where the picture came from, and ended up finding, in the long story short, found four separate usages plus a whole nother show called How It Ends, which is a Netflix original that all are using my mothership in various forms. And right now, Netflix is saying that I don't have a case to copyright because they changed it and yada, yada, yada. And so we last, or 2 weeks ago, filed a lawsuit in federal court in Great Falls, Montana, against Netflix, about improper usage of my photo.
That's crazy. So, and I'm putting the photo on the screen while you're talking and describing it. I can't imagine. So first of all, congratulations on the fantastic photo, because that thing, it looks like, it doesn't look natural, right? Well, a lot of us aren't from storm country, so we don't really see storm and cloud and weather formations like that. You know, here in California, we may see some wispy cumulus clouds every now and then. nothing like what you're showing here. But, you know, before we dive into sort of the legalities, and I'm going to be very just, I want to be very like sensitive to that this is an ongoing legal thing. So I'm not going to ask you any questions that might compromise anything, right? So I want to take this from kind of from an outsider's looking through the window standpoint. Before we do that, tell me how you got the shot, first of all. You know, what were you just driving down the road and you're like, oh, look at that, it looks like a portal to hell, I think I'll take a picture. I'll take a picture of it. How did it go down?
I actually actively storm chase. And so this was July of 2010, and a friend in town that is a meteorologist by training, his wife runs the National Weather Service office here. Saw this storm coming across the Canadian border, sort of heading down our direction. And, you know, we decided we were going to go catch up with it. So we headed out and caught up with the storm about I don't know, an hour or so from, took us about an hour to catch up to it as it was forming, and sort of luck was on our side a little bit, and we were able to follow the storm pretty much most of the night. I mean, moving, storm chasing's a lot like you hope the storm develops, you hope the road network gives you access, you hope the cellular data is strong enough to, so you can actively watch what the storm's doing on radar. And this particular shot was probably half an hour, 40 minutes after we sort of caught up with it and watched it form. And this is it's a stitch panoramic of four images. So shot vertically, four shots, handheld, just, you know, click, 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 and then stitched together in the computer after the fact. And what's unique about this is I don't know, I storm chase all over the country. A lot of times when storms come through, they come through earlier in the day. And so this one I think is pretty unique because it came through right as the sun setting. So what makes it really dramatic is that sun setting behind the storm, lighting up the cloud and all that rain. So it just was an amazing experience, you know,
And how often does this happen? Like, is this a regular occurrence, or is this a quote freak of nature that, oh my God, this is happening, and it's once every 3 years we see a formation like this, or is it every other day, kind of like in California we see cows every now and then, right?
Oh no, I mean storms. There's a storm season here, and storms happen, but. You know, to get them as organized as this, I mean, as discreet as this, because this was like the only storm of the day. And so there's not a lot of other clouds in the way. There's not other storms developing. A lot of times, you know, multiple cells pop up here and there and all over. And so the sky can get pretty messy and not give you a one. So this is, I mean, 2010, what are we, 2018, there hasn't been anything like it here. And then storms themselves, I mean, this is a high precipitation supercell. So supercell thunderstorms are the big ones that tornadoes and all the big hail and come from. And, you know, I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but they're not every storm turns into a supercell. It has to be specific things. And so that's why there's, you know, lots of people storm chasing. You know, there's a lot of skill and risk and effort that goes into it just in order to get into the right place in the right time. So
which leads me to, I understand why, you know, your feathers get ruffled if this is, you know, and that's kind of where I was going. Like, if this is an all the time occurrence where, you know, oh, you know what, I'm just going to go get another one. Netflix stole that one, so I'm just going to go get another one, whatever, no big deal. Or there are millions of images like this online. This is kind of a unique thing. And it takes, like you said, a lot of effort, a lot of planning, a lot of risk. You know, obviously, because if I saw that, I'd be going in the opposite direction, right? Yeah. So to go into it or chase it is something completely different. So take me, let's shift out of the sort of the technicals of capturing this shot and into the mindset of like how it happened when you found out that you were possibly infringed upon. How did you find out again?
Everybody else, you know, the second season of Stranger Things came out, and I binge watched it with my son. And in episode two, there's this shot where the boy, you know, they introduced the mind flayer, and the way it works, you know, the boy comes out of like the video arcade, and you know, there's a storm on the horizon. He flashes to the upside down, and there's that storm on the horizon, and you know, I saw that, and I actually paused the footage, and I was like, that storm looks really familiar, and I rewound it and everything, and you know, was like, wow, it's hard to tell. And my son's like, come on, Dad, come on, let's watch the rest of it. So we watched the rest of the show, and then I don't know, about 2 or 3 weeks later, Netflix at the same time as they released season two, they also did that behind the scenes. It's called Beyond Stranger Things.
Yeah.
About it. Are you still there, or am I cutting out?
Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit, but you're still here.
Okay. So Netflix had that Beyond Stranger Things, where they have the cast and crew, And a friend was watching it. And the ironic part is the friend that was watching it was the guy I was storm chasing with when I took the picture.
Nice.
So he was watching it, and he sent me a screenshot, says, you got to check this out. And so I went and, you know, watched that particular episode where they were talking about they're talking about concept art, and they knew that the Stranger Things, the second season, needed more graphics and more CG. And so they made these concept art pieces so that everybody in the team could be on the same page. And they show a few of those concept arts, and boom, there it is. There's this one image that's just, plain as day right there. All they did was change the color to make it look more like the Upside Down, that grayish look. And then they changed the foreground. And there it is. And I mean, I was a little floored. I'm like, what? It's, you know, like, why? I mean, what? Nobody called me. Nobody asked me. Nobody.
Now, at that point, were you thinking, like, if it was me and I saw one of my images like that in a major brand like Netflix that, you know, let's be real, has probably more money than I do, and they were infringing upon, obviously, upon some of my work, I would have saw dollar signs, and I'd have been like, at first, I'd have probably been pissed. Be like, hey, you're stealing my stuff. What's up with that? But then I would have been like, hey, they're stealing my stuff.
I don't know. I mean, it's like an honor that they did it. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, it's annoying that happens. I mean, that it's there and that nobody, I mean, my image is not, I don't have them with stock agencies. I don't do any of that. I represent it. And I mean, when people want to use, I mean, the mothership's been a pretty popular image. It's gone viral. It's been used by lots of different people, and people have contacted me. They say, hey, Sean, I want to use this and this. And we figure out a licensing fee based on what they want to do. And, you know, off we go onto the world, and everybody's happy. And, you know, this one, you see it and you're just like, it's just, you know,
that's a good point there, because I was going to get to that. I was thinking, was this image like many of our images will shoot and then they'll kind of live in a box or in Lightroom or whatever. And we just shoot them for the catharsis of shooting. Right. We never really use them or license them or anything like that. But you're saying this is not that. This was an active image. It's in your portfolio that other reputable entities have paid you for, licensed, and used multiple times. And then you have this other entity that comes in and says nothing. And then you see it online. It sounds cut and dry. Is that what your lawyers are saying, that this is relatively cut and dry, or without, obviously without, you know, divulging too much? What directions are you getting?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, I mean, it seems pretty cut and dry to us. I mean, I reached out to Netflix I have a client that, you know, I guess I take that back. I was 100% sure I knew it was my image. I wanted to make sure. So I did a comparison of the two, and I put it on Facebook, and, you know, 400 and some odd likes later and 500 comments, you know, everybody agreed that it was mine. And through that, I got connected with, big companies don't really like to talk to people. And, I ended up getting connected with an attorney who said, well, let's just write a letter. Let's just contact Netflix and write a letter and say, hey, you know, you see this image, you just want to reach out and ask them. And, you know, and I figured Netflix would be like, oh yeah, sorry, well, you're great, cool. You know, and we reached out to Netflix, and Netflix responded with saying that they didn't use my image, they used a similar image. So the idea that, you know, there's somebody standing next to me taking a picture and they're using a similar picture. And because of that, you can't copyright Mother Nature, because like I can't copyright clouds. And so they use a similar image. And so since you can't, no case. And then they said, well, then we changed it. And so, you know, pretty much go away
yeah.
on that. And, you know, and the problem with that argument is that there wasn't a similar photo because there was only two of us. I mean, I live in the middle of nowhere. I sent you that link earlier to, Glasgow, Montana is pretty much the hardest reach the place in America. According to the Washington Post.
Train, bus, donkey to get to it, right?
Yeah. So with that means there's not a lot of people that live here. And so the idea that there was another photographer standing next to me shooting the same picture that Netflix used, it doesn't fly because there was nobody else.
Yeah.
And then the fact that they changed it, and then back to the first one, there was nobody else. And I'm not claiming copyright on clouds as a whole. I'm claiming copyright on my picture that I took of it. And then the second one is that you changed it. And I'm like, well, so? I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. I'm like, you changed it by replacing the foreground and maybe changing the color a little bit. But the majority of my picture, and I would say the sort of the theme of my picture, the most important part is the storm cloud. That's what you used. And then you just changed the foreground to match. So this, doesn't matter to me. You're still using my picture and you're using it for, people started claiming, fair use and all this stuff, whatever. And, but it's a commercial purpose. I mean, Netflix is making money with it.
They're using it.
It's not like someone's using the picture to give a presentation on weather or something like that, which even if they did, I have people who have licensed it because that's what they do for a living. And they've contacted me and we've come up with a license and they use it for educational purposes, but they wanted to make sure that they're licensed it. So Netflix is using it for a commercial purpose. And then I'm sort of floored that we even got this far because I figured that everybody would be like, okay, yeah, cool, neat. Okay, sorry, we used it. Let's come up with, let's talk about what we can do for compensation, and everyone would go on their own way. And I don't know if how many people at Netflix got it or just the person that we talked to just decided to dig their heels in and here we are today.
And that's the job of counsel, right? To dig through all that. Your client counsel digs through and finds out what went wrong. The other thing that because you mentioned there's two shows. There was the Stranger Things show and This Is How It Ends or something like that was that other show. I saw that and that was not a good show. And it didn't end well. So it was a good premise, but it didn't end well. Doesn't it sort of raise the question of if it's in two, couldn't it be in more? Right. Has that crossed your mind at all?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like for Stranger Things, we've found three images that they've made concept art with that I know are mine, and there's probably a fourth. And then there's a good question is it actually the source material for the one in the show itself? Mm-hmm. And, part of me thinks it is hard to tell because they added more stuff to it, but I don't know. Yeah. And then there's a whole nother show, that show How It Ends, which was a Netflix special. And that one, they didn't even try to change it. It's just obvious. It's like right there. They cut to it. Boom. I mean, they changed the foreground again because it's supposed to be happening at night. And so they got rid of the sort of the sunset portion of it and made the bottom half darker. But the storm's there. And, so it makes you wonder, it's like, is it on a Netflix server? Is people just using it? I mean, where did it come from? How many other shows is it in? Because I can't watch Netflix shows. I mean, I don't. And that's part of this is it's like I just trying to understand like why, how, and then like, come on, everybody. I mean, I'm entitled to, use of my image.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally fair use, right? It's like don't be fair about the usage of my stuff. The other thing, so there's two things that popped up as I was preparing for this interview. I was thinking, okay, how many times, if you found multiple occurrences of this infraction, let's say, alleged infraction, right? If he's found multiple occurrences of this, could there be more? And then the other piece of it is, how many other photographers has this happened to? Right. So,
yeah,
you know, Sean can't be the only one, and you can't be a needle in a haystack. Is it a case of a needle in the haystack, or is it a needle stack, you know,
with some hay in it? I think Stranger Things has, they did it on season one. They took a photographer's, I don't remember the gentleman's name right now, but he had a photo of a VHS tape. And they took it. Stranger Things had a box set for their DVD, and they used his photo of the VHS tape and just put the label as Stranger Things on it, and then turned around and used it for their publishing, their material for that box set. So, I mean, wow. They've done it before. And I don't know. I mean, it is. I mean, there's some interesting things going on that I find is that there's this discussion of concept art. Okay, concept art, you know, is never supposed to see the light of day. We're making a movie. We're going to just develop images that can have everybody be on the same page for what we want it to look like. And so there's, you know, discussions, and people brought up to me, well, you know, it's just concept art. It happens all the time. And I'm like, so? Mm-hmm. I'm like, if you're doing a commercial commercial project, if you're using concept art, why are you just, you know, saving images from Google to make your stuff? I mean, there's stock agencies, there's lots of photographers around, you can buy stuff. I mean, why are you not paying for it? And just because it's common practice doesn't mean it's right. And just because it's behind the scenes doesn't mean that you shouldn't have to pay a licensing fee for it. And then, you know, so I, in theory, should have been entitled to some concept art usage. Mm-hmm. and then they published it, and then they turned around and made it public, and they used it in not only the behind the scenes documentary, but they also published the concept art to like teaser websites to say, well, hey, look at us, we're making a whole new season of Stranger Things, and we want to give you some teasing to get you excited about it. Well, look, there's my picture. I mean, they're using it as concept art for that. So that's a commercial use of it. So, you know, why doesn't it, just because you made concept art with it, why do you get to use it without paying licensing fees or at least talking to the photographer about it, you know, coming up with it? And then, you know, that's just an isolated case right there with Stranger Things. And then there's a whole nother show that you did,
yeah,
that in that show, it's not only in the movie, but then, you know, on Netflix, when you can, you know, you're trying to, they have the autoplay of the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, when you want it, there it is. It's like, you know, so your little
in that
20
too,
second trailer that you,
those two occurrences seem like, you know, I think of like, you know, hey judge, you're in a court of law, and the lawyer's arguing your case, and he's like, you know, yeah, you're the one that did something wrong. And you're like, well, you know, this is his first time doing this, and it was ignorant. He didn't know that you couldn't do this, and this. So have leniency on them, or, you know, let's dismiss the case and with a slap on the wrist. But if that defendant does it twice, then that's a whole different story, right? Or if there's a pattern of repeated infraction, that's a different story, and that's what's happening here, right? I mean, it's a pattern that's like, okay, they did it once, and I would argue, if I was a lawyer in this case arguing it, which I'm not, I would, part of the argument would be like, come on, this is a company that specializes in content creation and media, right? How can they not have a group that is in charge of making sure that all rights are secured for every asset that goes into one of these multi-million dollar productions, so that we don't get into a Sean Heavey type situation, right? It seems logical to me, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand it. And then I don't understand why I'm just an independent photographer that lives in the middle of nowhere, Montana, doing my own thing, that's shooting pictures and making a living off of the photos that I take, you know? And, mm-hmm. and when I reached out to Netflix to say that, you know, and then they deny it. I mean, I've put considerable effort and time and lack of sleep and just into, I mean, I don't want to be got to stand up for, you know, my stuff, because you're exactly right. If Netflix, if the roles were reversed, I mean, I would have cease and desist letters. My house would be being taken and all that stuff, because that's all Netflix does. And they have, you know, that's all they deal with is an intellectual property. They buy and sell people's stuff. And now they make their own shows to sell them to people to do that. And all they do is license rights. So I'm like, that's why I'm sort of was really surprised that we even made it this far of like, okay, here it is. It's pretty obvious to me. It's pretty obvious to the most of the world. It's pretty obvious to, I mean, I got weather experts that are like, they're saying, you know, storms are like, have like fingerprints.
For
you
sure,
know,
they
look a certain way. They constantly are changing. They're living, growing entities, and they change. And so they only look a certain way at a certain time. And, you know, you can only take that picture. And I'm like, I have that picture. So it's like, there's no question about it. And if you line the two up and you know, turn them into an animated GIF or fade the transparency, I mean, they're exactly the same. And so it's like, you know, and I just, yeah.
And where did you, do you have any idea of where they lifted the photo from? It was, you know, you mentioned a Google search, or was it on your website, and was it a high enough resolution for them to use?
I mean, the image is a viral image. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I shot it, it ended up, I submitted it into the National Geographic Photo Contest in 2010, and it ended up being an honorable mention, one of the top four of the winners for that year. And, you know, and it took on a viral, so it's on the web, and a lot of times it's credited to me. There's times where it's not credited to me.
Yeah.
But when it came out from National Geographic, it had photo credits with it, and it doesn't take long to figure out where it comes from. So, I mean, I don't know where they got it. I mean, it is, but that just because you can right click and save on Google, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to use it as in your production without paying rights for it.
Was it Uncle Ben on Spider-Man said, right? With great power comes great responsibility. The right click is great power. Google image search is not Getty Images, right? It is not our personal image library. Usage notwithstanding, right? So, I mean, a lot of people are just playing around with images and doing stuff that's not making money or whatever, and that's generally fine. But when you start making money and you're a big organization like Netflix with an army of lawyers, presumably, then, you know, it's kind of time to do the right thing. So, Sean, what's the next step for you? So it sounds like you're in the middle of this storm, no pun intended. So what happens next? And then the second part of that question is, what's your desired outcome? What would you like to, you know, all things, if everything falls in your favor, what does Sean Hebe's world look like in, say, 2019?
Oh, that I don't know. I mean, I don't really think that far in the future. I just do my own thing and live the day and then just enjoy my life and shoot pictures. I mean, I have no expected outcome of this. I mean, like I said, I'm surprised that I'm as far as I've gotten. It hasn't been easy. I'm grateful that I was able to get a team to help defend myself, because I just feel that I just need to stand up and to defend my rights. You're told when you learn photography and you read all these books and read all these magazines and stuff, register your copyright, do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you need the watermarked. And I'm like, I did that, I did this, I did all that. Okay, yay, I did it. And that doesn't mean at the end of the day that, you know, that when someone comes, and it's the system's not set up for people like me to be able to say, hey, you use my copyright, and they go, whatever. So I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next. You know, we just filed the lawsuit a couple weeks ago. You know, I would expect a response from Netflix, you know, within the next couple weeks. It's already taken way longer than anything would expect. So by 2019, I could be dead, and this thing could still be going for another 4 or 5 years. I mean, I have no idea. It's outside of my area of expertise. You know, I just know that, you know, you have to stand up
Yeah, I think that's a, you know, just the fact that you're, yes, you're pursuing this is, it's important for photographers, right? I mean, this may be, who knows, this may become known as the, you know, the Hevi versus Netflix case, right? Where, you know, people are referring to it in cases where an innocent solopreneurial photographer gets infringed upon by a giant corporation. What happens? Like, what are, yeah. And I think, you know, it's important. Even if there is no monetary gain or anything from the end of this, I think it's important for you to raise the flag and stand up for your rights and say, hey, you did something wrong, big company. You cannot do that, you know, because the people that are coming behind you are maybe watching this video and yeah, maybe be in this, they may be in the same situation that you're in right now. And you're like, I don't know what to do. Maybe I shouldn't do it. You know, I know ExxonMobil used my image, but they're ExxonMobil, so I'm not going to say anything, right? You got to say something. And yeah, and the path to saying something, I think for a lot of people, I would argue myself included, is kind of that it's the hardest thing. It's the first step. Like, okay, somebody steals one of your, an image. What's the first step? What was your first step? Did you get on the phone and call a lawyer? Did you, you know, ask opinions from social media? What were the steps?
That was the first step was social media. Hey, everybody, what do you think?
Yeah. Crowdsourcing,
yeah, you know, crowdsource, because that's the, you know, I'm not trying to shame Netflix in anything. I'm just, yeah, you know, just trying to, you know, cause you're right. I'm like, the photography world has changed so much. The advent of digital and the digital publication. I mean, people have said to me, well, you put your images online and therefore you lose rights to them. I'm like, you know, how else are you supposed to? It used to be, as a photographer, you made little books and you send them to people, and yeah, you know, and that's how you got jobs. And nowadays you have to have a website, you have to have an Instagram, you have to have this, you have to have that.
Yep.
You got to put your stuff out there, because you could be the world's best photographer, and if nobody sees your stuff, then what are you? You don't have any work. And so you got to put it out there, you got to share it. And so if you're saying you have to share it, and then the way you're supposed to protect yourself is through registering your copyright and watermarking and doing that stuff, if the world's not going to respect it, and I'm a content creator, mm-hmm, you know, that's what I do in my own little small way. I create content,
yeah,
still images of things that people like and people get in to use. And so there has to be this understanding that I create stuff, and, you know, companies come and also need my stuff, you know, for them, for their projects and stuff like that too. And we need to be able to exchange funds, because, you know, photography, there's a lot more photographers nowadays. It's, yeah, easier to do some of the things. The technology does a lot of stuff for you on things like that. And so it's like, it's harder to eke out a living as a photographer. And I mean, I'm blessed that I've been able to eke out my living, you know, shooting and keeping myself busy and occupied, you know, in this place that I live. And, you know, and this is just part of that, is it's like, you know, you have to say, I'm a photographer. I care about my work, because, I mean, ultimately standing up for yourself too means that you have value in what you do.
Sure.
You know, I care about what I do, and this is the business side of it. And it's tough. I mean, how many times at 3 o'clock in the morning I've woken up panicking, going, oh my God, it's Netflix. It's, yeah, Jesus. Yeah. This is out of my level of understanding. I'm like, you know, I'll call up my attorney. I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yes. You know, I'm like, are you, talk to my wife. Are you sure? Yes, you got it. You got to do it. So, yeah.
Well, one of the things that you know, I think about in these kind of conversations is, you know, corporations, enjoy the status of being individuals for the most part, right? A corporation is a person. Yeah. So if you look at it from through that lens, so to speak, then this guy, his name's Netflix, stole your work and is making money from it. What would you do if it was a guy that you knew down the street that stole your work and was selling it, right? You would, they're the same kind of recourse, right?
You'd go knock on their door and go, we got to talk about
it. Yeah, this. What's up, dude? You're stealing my stuff. What's going on? You know, exactly. You're going to hook me up, you know, come on. You know, I don't want to make a big stink of this, but do the right thing, right? That's all you're doing. Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Netflix as well. I don't want to drag them through the mud, but I do think a light needs to be shined upon the situation. I mean, Netflix is a big part of my life. I binge just like everybody else, you know, Netflix, between Netflix, Amazon Prime, who just rang my doorbell a few minutes ago, Netflix, Amazon Prime, and what is it? YouTube. You know, that's probably that probably represents a good eighth to a third of my life, right there. Right. So I don't want to see them go away, but I do want to see them play within the rules. You can't play the game without paying attention to the rules. So So if people want to see this work, if they want to see, I've been showing the shot, and I'll bring it up here again. If people want to see this and see the comparison shot and all that, and we'll put it in the blog post for this episode, but if they're listening or watching on YouTube or something, where should they go? Where should they go to kind of keep tabs on this to see where it all unfolds to?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not really...
You're not chronicling it. You're not live blogging every interaction.
No, I want to, but I also just don't want to. Like, it's not. I don't know. So, I mean, you can pretty much Google Montana and Netflix, and there's news articles that pop up about it. So, you know, there's a way to sort of follow it that way. And then maybe if we get a resolution, we can talk about it later, see how it happens. If I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll do that. Absolutely. You know, I want to keep me posted so that we can reschedule another interview after, you know, we figure if there's some movement in the case, right? So, I don't want this Week in Photo to become part of the case or compromise the case for you. We want to be the folks sitting in the back of the courtroom taking notes. That's who we want to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an important issue that it has broader implications from just me on it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and, you know, hopefully we can come to an understanding or something like that. I mean, I just floored that that it's come this far.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it. I know you got to get back to the deer and the antelope out there.
Yep.
in God's country, out there with the fresh air, you know. So enjoyed out there. Stay in touch. Let us know what's going on so that we can keep the TWIP army in touch and up to date on how these kinds of cases unfold over time.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks. It was good talking to you.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks a lot, Sean. Take care.
Okay, bye.
This is TWIP.